So y'all, check this out. We're going to play a game before we get started today. You're going to play a game. And here's the game, all right? It's one prize. Yep, one prize. So I'm going to show you a movie clip here in a little bit. Not right now, but here in a little bit. Before I show you that movie clip, I want you to guess the movie. So what I'm going to do is give you all the names of the characters in the movie. And I'm going to, you know, just going to give you first names. And for the first person who recognizes what movie this is, you're going to shoot up your hand. Don't say it out loud. You're going to shoot up your hand, and then I'll tell you the movie. Okay? Then you're going to shoot up your hand. You're going to guess the movie, and we see if you get it. Y'all ready? Okay. Movie character one, Kate. Gus. Peter. Kate, Gus, Peter. Harry. Old Man Marley. What? Home Alone got that right. Man, all you guys is watch movies. You got that last time, too. Here you go, some M&Ms. Good job. Movie Home Alone, one of my favorite movies of all time. Has anybody seen this movie? What, you know what? No, how about this? Has anybody been living under a rock and have not seen this movie, Home Alone? Oh my goodness. Wait, raise your hands high. Single those people out. Why are you here? Okay, for those who had not watched these movies, like, I expect you all to go make disciples of all nations. So today, take somebody out to eat and watch that movie. It is a classic. Macaulay Culkin, come on, y'all. Cutest kid ever. So for those who've been living under the rock, you few out there, let me give you just pretty much, let me kind of explain the movie to you. Now, check this out. So the night before, their entire family, a family of 14, is getting ready to go to Paris, Home Alone 1. They're getting ready to go to Paris to spend their holidays, to spend Christmas out there. Well, Kevin gets ticked off at his brother Buzz. They get to fighting, and the entire family is mad at Kevin. And Kevin, who has a mouth on him, good night. And he looks at his mom and he says that, you know what? I wish I didn't have a family for Christmas. I wish I could spend Christmas all by myself. And then his mama was like, well, say it one more time. Maybe you get your wish. And he goes, I don't want to see any of you jerks. He said that to his mama. If I would have said that to my mama, I would be waking up like 5 years from now. I would have been knocked out from 8 years old to 33. I mean, it's crazy. Now, so he says, I wish that I never had a family. Well, a family of 14 was rushing to go to Paris, and they forgot an 8-year-old who was in trouble sleeping in the attic. So he woke up with his family gone. All right? Mom of the Year award, right? So we're going to pick up from there. So let's check out this clip.
Megan? Hello? Hello? Rod? Uncle Frank? Uncle Frank, you're such a joke. Megan? Lenny? Is this a joke? I made my family disappear.
Kevin, you're completely helpless.
No, Kevin, you're what the French call les incompétents.
Kevin,
I'm going to feed you to my tarantula.
Kevin, you are such a disease.
There are 15 people in this house, and you're the only one who has to make trouble.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
I made my family disappear.
I love that movie. Now, when Kevin woke up, at first he was pretty scared. He was pretty scared that he actually made his family disappear. And then he sat down and he was like, wait a minute. All of my family were a bunch of jerks. And then he got excited. He was like, oh, I made my family disappear. And immediately he goes into his parent, pops some popcorn, jumping on the bed. And, he couldn't do that before. He's jumping on his parents' bed, eating popcorn. Later on in the movie, we see him eating mounds of ice cream, watching mob movies, right? Y'all remember the movie? You know, Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. So he's having a fantastic time. He steals his brother's BB gun, and he's shooting a BB gun in his house. Having his cheese pizza, macaroni and cheese, he is having the absolute time of his life. And the reason why Kevin is having so much fun is because he did whatever he wanted, and nobody can tell him otherwise. Nobody. Complete freedom to do whatever he wanted. Now, we're currently in a sermon series called Full House, and our home base is Ephesians 1, verse 5, which says this: "And God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us into himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure." So Jesus adopted us into his own family. And Romans 10 says that everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, let's also go to Galatians. In Galatians, it says that, we're all one in Christ Jesus. Like, it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free, we're all. So with these three verses combined, we have a family. Anybody remember Captain Planet? Earth, wind, fire, wind, water, heart, go, planet. Sorry, nerd alert. Those three verses combined, you have a family. And so that's what we talked about last week, that it doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter where we're from. We're all family. We all got one daddy, and we're all united. Our daddy is God, all right? All one family. Here's the deal about family, and especially a big family. Family gets on your nerves sometimes. I wish I had the clip. Kevin was standing on the stairs, and he said, "I can't stand family." And he said this, and I quote, "Family suck." Which, man, why doesn't mama let him get away with all of that stuff, by the way? But if you really think about it, family kind of does sometimes. Sometimes family gets really on your last nerves. Sometimes our family can get extremely selfish. I can get extremely mean and just downright hateful at some times. And we hate dealing with that stuff. So a lot of the times we can act like Kevin and wish away our family. Wish them away. Now, I'm not saying that we actually go and be like, oh, I wish I didn't have a family. But we actually make it come true by doing something. Check this out. Whenever we want to wish away our family, we isolate ourselves from the family. Because our family is nuts. Our family gets on our last nerves. And we begin to isolate ourselves from one another. Anybody ever guilty of that? Lord knows I am. Lord knows. Okay, man, I guess I am the only one guilty of it. This thing, y'all, is called church isolation. Church isolation. I think about it. It is God's will for all of us to be linked up. It is God's will for us to be a family. Again, there is a toilet in nearly every single house, every single one. Why? People live in the house. And what happens? Where there's people, there's poop. Where there is people, there are problems, okay? there's the nasty, stinky stuff. And so what we want to do is get away from the folks, all right? It seems much easier that way, right? Imagine how easy life is whenever we isolate ourselves from other people. Can you imagine waking up and you won't necessarily have to worry about how other people feel? You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about, you know, kind of forming your conversations to fit their needs. You don't have to worry about what they think. You won't have to worry about how they react. You just don't have to worry about them at all. Do you know how incredibly easy it would be to live life not worrying about anybody except yourself? Extremely easy. And unfortunately, a lot of people do that. We completely go Kevin McAllister and we do whatever we want whenever we isolate ourselves from the church. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seek his own desires. Think about it. Whenever you isolate yourself from people, you're worried about yourself. Because again, you don't have to worry about anybody else. And so you are saying subconsciously, my will be done. It is all about me, which is easy. Seeking our own desires is pretty awesome. But there's a big problem in doing so. Huge problem in doing so. Check out the second half of that verse. Again, Proverbs 18:1. This is the second half of it. And he breaks against all sound judgment. So let's put these together. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. Some translations say he rages against sound judgment. Rages against it. Meaning I'm doing something wrong and somebody else comes to offer me sound judgment to make it right, and I rage against them telling me what I need to do to get better to further my life towards Christ. And we get mad about that. Has anybody ever experienced somebody like that? I've been that person. Every husband in here, I know all the wives can say amen, has been that way. And wives, you too. This is no joke, not a joke at all. I met a man, I was working at camp at this time, and I hired a guy who I loved to death, and this dude was going through a lot. I mean a lot. He was dishonorably discharged from the Navy. This guy, he got into some trouble. I mean, he pretty much hit rock bottom. And he's looking at me and he goes, dude, I just want to follow you. Just disciple me, like, you know, kind of lead me to the right path. So I'm like, okay. So Heidi and I, we gather our funds together, make sure he came down. We got him a job working at camp, you know, being a maintenance guy. And we're like, look, and we put out this big plan. We're going to meet together constantly, and we're going to surround yourselves with believers who will hold you accountable so you can love, serve, and encourage one another. We gave him a perfect opportunity, you know, to set him up for success, right? Then after like 2 days of being there, things start going south. And so I saw that and I'm like, look, bro, we're going to have to change our behavior. You know, come on, man, we need to do this. He said this, and I quote, he said, you can't tell me nothing. This is the ranking in heaven. There is God the Father, there's Jesus Christ, and then there's me. Okay. Does that sound foolish to you all? There's God the Father, there's Jesus, and then there's me. And I'm like, you can't even throw a John Piper in there or Francis Chan or Tony Evans or your mama. I mean, you can't throw anybody else in there. And he goes, nobody can't tell me nothing. So I looked at him and I'm like, ain't nobody has been able to tell you something, and look where it's gotten you. Maybe, just maybe, we need to change our method. But he wouldn't do it. Now, check this out. And he actually believed it. Like, in his brain, he actually believed that there was God, Jesus, and then himself. And then and he was so far elevated between anybody else, anybody else's knowledge, anybody else's understanding, anybody else's wisdom, so much that he refused to learn from anybody else. He actually believed it. Actually believed it. And it was much easier to function in life for him that way. But check this out. and I mean this in the nicest way. Whenever you seek your own desires, and whenever you are not literally like sitting underneath the direction of somebody and allowing somebody to challenge you, whenever you're doing that, that makes you stupid. Sorry I said the S word, but come on. There's God, there's Jesus, and then there's me. If that ain't the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life, I don't know what is. Am I the only one up here? I mean, y'all smelling when I'm stepping in. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Hear me, church. Hear me. Many things may make sense in your head, but God did not design us to make our own sense. Some of you all, that may be hurt, that may hurt to hear. Let me repeat that. Things may make sense in your own head, but God did not design us to make our own sense. Why do you think we constantly have to follow after him? Because our own sense leads us to stupidity. Our own sense leads us to death. Death, separation from God, and all of the beautiful things that God has to offer. Whenever we are constantly seeking our own desires, our own will, it's causing us separation from him. So God gives us people to challenge us, to love us, to encourage us, to slap us on the butt and be like, bro, get out of this funk. Like, where you at? How do I know that? How do I know that God didn't design us to make our own sense? Check this out. Genesis 2:18. We hear this at wedding a lot, and we hear this thinking about marriage a lot, but I think it's way, way, way deeper than that. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, check this out. It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. I will make him a helper. Now, a lot of times, again, we think about that as a marriage, but it goes deeper than that. Adam and Eve are the origins for all of community. They populated the earth. They did. And so when Jesus said, hey, be fruitful and multiply, he is saying like, all right, I'm going to establish this community. I'm going to grow a community. I'm going to grow a people. And it is not good for man to be alone, just alone. It is not good for that. I'm going to give him a helper. Greek word for helper is azer, meaning the ideal partner. Check this out, men and women. We are each other's ideal partner. We are. We. Think about this. Jesus, God, he presented everything, every animal, right in front of Adam. And he named them all. And there was the one God said, yeah, he can't fellowship with that turtle well. They're meerkat. Nah, it ain't working. Ooh, that T-Rex. Ooh, what if he gets mad, you know? So he put man in the deep sleep, and out of the sod, he created woman. And then he goes, multiply. I desire a community. Be fruitful and multiply. Subdue all of the land. So check this out. When we isolate ourselves from each other, we are literally going against God's design. You are not. You are going completely against God's plan for your life. Completely against it. Y'all smelling when I'm stepping in? Let's go back to Home Alone for a second. Let's go back to Home Alone. Think about this, church. Think about this. At one point did the McAllister, at what point did the robbers come to take over the house? At what point? When they realized the people were gone. Uh-oh. Satan is waiting to devour you. And he's looking, he's like, all right, wait a minute. What does the word say? He's like a lion seeking to devour you. Have you ever seen a lion hunt? When they hunt, They try to isolate that one whatever from the entire pack. Even when it's in its pack, it's like, no. You know, I'm going to uniquely go on this path to isolate them. You don't think Satan is doing that right now? He is hoping you are isolated from the pack. And a lot of times we take the bait. And that a lot of times Satan don't even have to plan for us to be isolated because we already are. Are y'all hearing me, church? It's a reason why we were talking about this full house. There's a reason why we're essentially doing two family series in a row, and we're going to do another one in Christmas. There's a reason why, because we need to be linked up. Some people are getting devoured because we're alone, and that shouldn't happen. We, men and women, are each other's keeper. We are our brothers and our sisters' keeper. We are. We should see each other like that. Here's my first point, if you ain't get it already. Isolating yourselves from your Christian family is opening yourselves up to Satan's deception. Whenever you're isolating yourself from people, you are just saying, Satan, come on in. The water's fine. Come on. We don't think clearly when we're by ourselves. We don't. That's why we ought to have family. Amen? Let's move on to our next point real quick. Isolating yourselves from your Christian family is rejecting the comfort you need to push through. Isolating yourselves from your Christian family is rejecting the comfort you need to push through. Church, check this out. Isolation will eventually produce loneliness, which I believe is the worst emotional pain that anybody here can experience. The pain of loneliness. Mother Teresa said this. Now, think about the great things Mother Teresa did and the people that she served. Think about this. She said this. Loneliness and the feeling of being unloved is the most terrible poverty. The poverty, the feeling of loneliness. Church, whenever you're away from people, Satan will deceive you to think that you're all alone. And I am guilty of that. I am guilty of that. Y'all, my dad is here today, right? My dad. And I know you're probably looking around and be like, man, what? I don't see another black dude here. Like, who is his daddy? No, it's deeper than that. You know what I'm saying? He's my spiritual dad. And so I was going through a very, very dark period, you know what I'm saying, the last couple of months. I mean, extremely dark. And hey, man, I'm rounding 30 and I'm getting out of that funk. But it was some dark times. And the Holy Spirit laid it on this man to check in on me. You know what I did? I didn't answer his phone calls, didn't answer his texts. Told him I was going to call him back, never did. And because what did I do? I was so lonely, I isolated myself further. And check this out. This is how deceived I was. God gave me a man, a father in my life to speak into my life, to love, serve, and encourage me. And I was so deceived, so blind, I isolated myself from the very thing God has given me to get out of that funk. Men and women, that's what we do. We get deceived. That sounds foolish, right? But you think about this. Whenever you're lonely, who are you going to be like, oh, I need somebody, you know, like I'm looking for it. Whenever we experience loneliness, we put ourselves in isolation. We do. If that's not the biggest deception in the world, I don't know what is. Are y'all hearing me, church? I was sitting in a room, and I'm looking at Heidi, and I'm like, babe, I just feel so alone. And Heidi was like, wait, what? Look at me. Like, constantly, every day, I'm like, hey, let's talk. Let's chill. Let's do this. I am always a sounding board here. And you know what I did? I got mad at her. And I'm like, why are you making it all about yourself? It's not about yourself. But can you imagine how that made my wife feel? She is there to be my azer, to be my helper, my ideal partner. She is. And I looked at her and I said, I'm lonely. I have nobody. How do you think that made her feel? That is deception, men and women. Deception. Those who are feeling lonely right now, you are being deceived, especially you saints. If you're not a Christian in here, you are lonely. But there's a remedy to that. But you saints, you hear me. You are being deceived if you are dealing with loneliness right now. Loneliness. Check out Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by what? A great cloud of witnesses. Since we are surrounded by a multitude of people designed to love, serve, and encourage one another. Like, we are uniquely designed that way. And they're there for you. Since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set, the race that is set before us. We have a multitude of brothers and sisters that we can run to, a multitude of them. Here's my final point, church. Jesus doesn't want you to experience loneliness. How do I know that? Because Jesus experienced isolation so we wouldn't have to. We wouldn't. Think about this in John 1:1-3. It says, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with. Oh, that's a beautiful word, with. In the beginning, before there was anything, that was Jesus, and Jesus, fully God, he was with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. They were together. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, including time. That fellowship within the triune God existed before time did. God invented time so we can be put in there. They invented time together, and before time was created, they were already linked up. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Perfect fellowship. Now let's fast forward to the end of his life. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he goes, God, if there's any way, let this bitter cup pass from me. He's about to experience the wrath of God. And a lot of times we may think that the wrath of God is all the beating and everything that he's have to endure. He preached to his disciples like, you're going to get persecuted. Like, it's going to happen. Emotionally persecuted, physically persecuted, it's going to happen, partner. Like, they're just going to do it. The reason why Jesus was in so much anguish, he had to experience the wrath of God, which is not necessarily the physical punishment that he had to endure. He had to experience separation from God. That's why he was so stressed out. God, is there any way I don't have to go through this? The separation between me and you. Remember whenever we created time, whenever we created mountains, remember when we created the seas and light and darkness, whenever we created that. And remember when we created people? Oh. Then he was like, I'm going to have to be separated from you. I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want to be isolated from you. Think about this. Like, even while Jesus was on this earth, he was alone, but he wasn't isolated. What I mean by he was alone, like, you think about it, he had all of the wisdom ever, and he's down here. How can he not get this, you know, like, how did he not get mad at the disciples every 5 seconds? It blows my mind. They didn't get it over and over and over and over again. He had all of the wisdom. I don't understand that. You imagine how alone that is. There was no man that ever walked the face of the earth like Jesus. Nobody. He was alone in that, but he wasn't isolated. How? Because he was constantly surrounded by people, given by God. But whenever he was on the cross, he had to experience separation from God, separation from everything. He was truly alone. And he did that so you wouldn't have to experience it. Why do we, Why do we put ourselves in position to experience something God had no intentions for us to experience? That's what we do when we isolate ourselves from one another, church. Jesus on the cross, he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? The reason why he had to do it is because he didn't want his children to experience it. And he defeated death, giving us the ministry of reconciliation. We are reconciled to the Father, and we will be with him forever one day, if you're a saint in here. More of the story, church, reject isolation. That's why you think we have life groups. Why do you think we do like Hoopla? Why do you think we do like FX? Why do you think we do all of these things? So we can be together. So we can be together. If you're not in a life group, men and women, the time to join is now. Let's reject loneliness. Be linked up as a family and go about God's business with loving each other. Can I get an amen with that? I'm going over. I'm going to get in trouble. Y'all, let's stand up. For those in here that are experiencing loneliness, you don't have to. You don't. Choose today to end the isolation. Be linked up with your brothers and sisters, and let's go about loving each other, serving each other, encouraging each other. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anybody in here that's experiencing that spiritual loneliness, you are not reconciled to the Father. And you want to make that decision today to submit underneath God's pursuit, ending that isolation. Will you raise your hand right now? Is there anybody in here that wants to know Jesus? Now let me pray. Father, thank you so much that we are reconciled to you, Father. You've given us the ministry of reconciliation. I pray, Father, that we will reconcile whatever relationship that we need to, Father. I pray, Father, that we would just be linked up, a close, tight-knit community who love, serve, and encourage one another. Father, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, God, so much for the family. Thank you, God, so much for our full house. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody said, amen, amen. Y'all go and sin no more.